Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Chef Andrew Gruhl, owner of Slapfish Restaurant Group. You can find our ridiculously fresh and refreshingly responsible seafood at slapfishrestaurantgroup.com. You're listening to my good friend Audrey Russo on Real Talk Radio. God bless, and I hope to meet you all soon.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. The push for critical race theory or cultural Marxism is unprecedented and going on throughout academia and corporate America. Isn't this systemic racism? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest for my new listeners. Alan West is, as the title of his best-selling book, the Guardian of the Republic. Having served over two decades in the U.S. military, he served in several combat zones and received numerous honors, including a Bronze Star, three Meritorious Service Medals, three Army Commendation Medals, one with Valor, and a Valorous Unit Award. Alan's also served as a congressman in Florida. And he's a Fox News contributor and a contributing columnist for townhall.com. He's now serving as the chairman of the Texas GOP. He is, without a doubt, the watchman on the wall of our republic, warning us of the enemies without and within. He is indeed the old school patriot and author of the new bestseller, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death, and the soon-to-be bestseller, We Can Overcome, An American Black Conservative Manifesto. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Welcome back, Alan.
Good to be with you, Audrey. Thanks so much for having me.
It's so great to have you back with us again. You don't see, but I'm doing my jazz hands when we do the applause. So
cool.
It's all those years of jazz, that's what. Anyway, we're going to jump right in here. I understand Russia is now provoking us with the largest military exercise since the Cold War. So Biden is proving to be the projection of weakness, is he not?
No, you're absolutely right, and weakness is very enticing, and when you are standing there, and well, actually, you're not standing there. He did not go on the same platform with Vladimir Putin. You allow him to be able to dictate a narrative and whatever his talking points were, and how incredibly, I don't want to say stupid, but why would you show yeah. a list of 16 things that we don't want you to do a cyber attack against? So if you're number 17 on that list, is that okay? Or, you know, again, you just, you know, show him some vulnerabilities that you're saying don't attack that. So I don't understand, but this is going back to the Obama-Biden years, where we saw a very feckless foreign policy. We saw weak national security, and we know it was during the Obama-Biden administration. That's when Russia came in and took the Crimea. That's when they came in and took portions of Ukraine. And we see what China is doing as well. So we're not projecting that same strength. And I know that there are a lot of the European nations, the Western European nations, that feel very comfortable with having a weak President Biden and a weak America. But those Eastern European countries that are facing down Russia, they are not very confident in what they see happening right now, to include you're going to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline in the United States of America, put Americans out of work, but then you're going to approve and support the pipeline for natural gas to come out of Russia to go to Germany. It doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, kind of with that 16, the list of 16 things reminded me of the stupidity of gun-free zone signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You put up a sign, say, you know, we don't allow, you know, ourselves to be protected. Well, guess what? You know, if you create a void, basic law of physics, if you create a void, something's going to fill that void. And when you create an absence of leadership, evil is going to step in. And remember what Sir Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Exactly. Right now, the United States of America is not doing anything.
Yeah, sadly, tragically for us. I want to jump over to Houston for a second. The U.S. federal judge just threw out the case of 117 nurses. That's for the listeners, they may not be aware, who sued Houston Methodist for terminating them for refusal to take the experimental non-FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine. I do think they're going to appeal. Am I correct?
They are going to appeal, and this is a huge issue here in the state of Texas because, you know, again, you look at Florida, you know, all this stuff about mandatory vaccine and vaccine passports and everything. That's not the case here. But just think about it and put it in this frame of reference. You know, when you stand up and you say that you're pro-life, the very first thing that the other side comes out and says, you know, my body, my choice. It is what a woman, it's her right to choose what she wants to have done with her body. But yet now all of a sudden we are dealing with, as you just said, an experimental drug vaccine that has not been approved by the FDA for a virus that has a 99.96% recovery rate. And now we have workers, healthcare workers, being told you either take it or you're going to be fired. Now it has become a condition of employment. That is wrong. And so we have got to make sure that we correct this because where do we go from here? I mean, when we get to the point where you're being told you have to eat certain things, you have to act a certain way. I mean, if you can tell people that they don't have control over what gets injected into their bodies and make that a condition of employment, then we're on a slippery slope here in the United States of America. And it's sad that this is happening in Texas.
Yeah, and this is a very frightening because if you take a look at VAERS, you can see with only 1% reporting, there's almost 6,000 deaths from this. When in 1976, 53 deaths is all it took for them to pull the swine flu vaccine. Yeah, they're going strong with this, right? So this is experimental. It is still experimental. It will not be finished till 2023. We are it if you take the vaccine. This is the experiment. And yet, this is for a virus. There shouldn't have been a vaccine for something with almost 100% of the people that get it recover from it. We're talking 99.9%, 99.8%, and the most vulnerable, 95%. It doesn't get better than that, does it?
It does not get any better than that. And, you know, you have worse cases with heart disease.
Yes.
You have worse issues with, you know, the regular flu. Or some of the other things that we have going on, cancer.
Oh, those don't exist anymore. Those don't exist, right?
And it's amazing that we don't hear anything about some of these other comorbidities and what the effect has been on the population. Now everything is about COVID. And so there's a difference between dying because of something and dying with something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something else we need to look at because even last fall, the CDC came out and said that only 94% of people had comorbidities. Only 6% of people flat out had lost their lives because of COVID-19. So when you start to look at the facts, follow the science, like they like to say, we cannot allow people to lose their individual rights and liberties and control over their bodies about something that's experimental.
No, we cannot. And even for healthcare workers, and I should think that they would have a choice as well as anyone else. There were some that were early on were again, I'd say provoked into getting it and had got neurodegenerative diseases now that cannot be, they're not getting any help. They worked also at hospitals and they're not getting any workman's comp. They're getting nothing for it. So this can't continue. Alan, I want to.
But yet, Dr. Fauci is the highest paid, government employee, over $400,000. Amazing.
Dr. Mengele, in my opinion. But if we go back to AIDS, Alan, I want to talk about. I understand that you served with General Lloyd Austin at Fort Bragg. Could you share anything about your personal experience and knowledge of him, and if you could have predicted that he would be responsible for the ongoing purge?
I got to tell you, he was a man. He was a brigade commander of the 3rd Brigade, 82nd Airborne Division, someone that we looked up to because, there aren't a lot of minority combat arms officers in the United States military. And to find one that was so well accomplished, just the epitome of leadership, a paratrooper, ranger, all of that good stuff, infantryman. And now the person that I see is the Secretary of Defense that is allowing for this countering extremism working group that has, critical race theory, proponents that are part of that, and Islamic jihadist lawyers that are part of that. It's very confusing to me, and I don't understand what has happened with the senior leadership, not just civilian leadership in the military, but the senior uniform leadership in the military. Now that we are telling military officers and we're relieving them of command that they speak out against Marxism, well, guess what? The oath that we take to the Constitution, Marxism is the antithesis of that. So I would just don't understand what, General Lloyd Austin, as Secretary of Defense, what his focus is on. This purging of the military, going after people that are conservative and, going and surveilling their personal social media platforms, that sounds more like the Soviet Union than the American military.
Yeah, sure. So this seems out of character for him, from what you had known of him. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, the person that I served with back, that's like 1997, 1997-98, there at Fort Bragg, yeah. I mean, I just saw a military officer then. I don't know who it is that is the Secretary of Defense today.
Speaking of critical race theory, especially, and thank God for the work of Christopher Rufo, that the left has been pushing critical race theory or really cultural Marxism and the 1619 Project in schools in corporate America. But I understand that Barack Obama is also behind this cultural Marxism. Is that correct?
Well, it would not surprise me. I mean, because he is a Marxist socialist himself. And, this recent interview that he had trying to say that this is a Republican boogeyman. No, you have a lot of people that are very upset with this indoctrination of their children and basically saying that you, Audrey, are a bad person because you're white and I am a victim because I am black. And you're trying to not just revise but eliminate American history to say that America was founded in 1619 when a slave ship arrived to the shores, not on July the 4th of 1776. This is a very dangerous thing, and you're right. It is that cultural Marxism, it's the new Marxism that replaces socioeconomic division with a racial division.
Yeah. Well, it's as if they're trying to create systemic racism. They're trying to change everything.
They are.
Yeah.
And hatred.
And hatred, yeah. I guess we shouldn't be surprised when we see some of these. When this, there was one. I'm trying to remember where he was caught. Actually, he confessed to it, shooting five men, one man in the back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he was white, and sometime in his own personal history, he says that white men had taken from him, so he wanted to take something from them. And I'm really, and that's what they're being fed. This, that's why.
Now, and flip the story, if this were a white gentleman that went out and just willy-nilly decided to shoot blacks, what would be the top running story all across the mainstream media right now?
Yeah.
But you cannot find that story that you just mentioned hardly anywhere. It's not on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, PBS. No, because they don't want that to be out there.
Yeah. Well, they're controlling the narrative very well, unfortunately.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
Juneteenth is almost upon us, but many don't know the significance of June 19th, 1865 in Texas. Could you share that with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, out here, you know, people didn't have cell phones and text messaging and all that type of stuff. So the folks out here in Texas, the slaves did not find out until, you know, June 19th of 1865 that they were free. And just an amazing story. And guess what happened 2 years later? On July the 4th of 1867, 150 black men founded the Republican Party of Texas down in Houston, Texas. And so this is just an incredible celebration here in Texas to, you know, remember and go back and think about the learning that you could be free. And what we have to do now is we have to continue that message, because there's an economic enslavement that is going on for the black community. But when you look at the history of the black community early on in Texas, State Senator Matthew Gaines, who was instrumental in the founding of Texas A&M University and Prairie View A&M University, State Representative G.T. Ruby. I mean, we're talking about people who were former slaves that got elevated into elected positions as Republicans. I am not the first black chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. I'm actually the third. And one of the most notable was Norris Wright Cooney, who served from 1884 to 1898.
Wow.
And all of that, you know, happened after them finding out on June the 19th of 1865 that they were free.
Gee, I wonder if the Democrat-leaning mainstream media doesn't bring out these facts, because it was the Republican Party that they started there, not the Democrat Party.
Oh, of course. It's just the same as how ironic that Joe Biden goes to Tulsa as a remembrance of the massacre there at Black Wall Street and the black citizens there. But he didn't mention the fact that those were Democrats. Or he doesn't mention the fact that he eulogized a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard who happened to be a U.S. Senator, and that's Robert Byrd from West Virginia. So that's why they want to not just revise history, but eliminate history, because they don't want people to know the true history of the Democrat Party.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when people like Lori Lightfoot from Chicago's mayor uses Juneteenth, what she did is for Flag Day, she replaced all the American flags with Juneteenth flags. That's not the idea of Juneteenth, is it?
No, that's not the idea. The idea of Juneteenth is to celebrate individual liberty and freedom, and how we must continue to fight for that.
I think she should control other things there and not worry about flags right now.
Crime, oh yeah, rates. Like the crime and the shootings and the killings that are happening in her city of Chicago.
Just those things? Come on.
Yeah.
So, little things like that. We were mentioning the border earlier. So since we last spoke, basically Governor Abbott has done what with the border?
Well, he has come out and said that he's going to continue and finish the border wall. A lot of people are wondering about the funding. You know, there was an article that said he's going to try to crowdsource or to crowdfund it. But, you know, again, this is a Band-Aid on a second chest wound. We need to have a full mobilization of our National Guard down there to get on these infiltration routes and interdict the flow of individuals and also the drugs and the cartel activity as well. We need to redefine the roles and responsibilities and duties and missions of our law enforcement agents, because if you have a constitutional crisis where the federal government is saying that they're not going to do their duty and responsibility as prescribed in the Constitution to protect the sovereignty of the United States, the sovereignty of Texas, which has a 1,200-mile border with a foreign nation, then we need to be able to do that. And so we need to have those powers to deport people. If the Customs and Border Patrol and the ICE are not going to do it because the federal government is saying you're not going to be able to do that. So there's a lot of things we have to look at. The cartels need to be designated as transnational criminal and terrorist organizations so that we can go after them and their funding. And, you know, when we find their funding, guess what? then we can use that for border security. The remittances that illegal immigrants are sending back into Mexico or Honduras or Nicaragua and Guatemala, we need to tax those remittances so that they're just not, you know, sending, you know, open money back. And so that's how we have to start attacking this system of illegal immigration.
Yeah. And it's been actually a few months since Governor Abbott said he was going to deploy the National Guard. Well, this is just words with him.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot of rhetoric that is out there. But, you know, right now you have people that are living in terror along the border. And I'm heading down to the Rio Grande Valley border area tomorrow. Going to go down to Zapata County, which first time in 100 years it went from Democrat to Republican.
Wow.
And so we're going to celebrate their brand new Republican county party, and also be with their new county chairperson, Jennifer Thatcher, an incredible young Hispanic woman that's on fire for conservative principles and values.
That's excellent. And of course, I understand that Texas now has constitutional carry, right?
Finally. We're the 21st state to finally get it, but I guess better now than never. But it's just been amazing that in the entire time that Governor Abbott's been the governor, this has been a legislative priority for the Republican Party of Texas, but we finally got it through this time.
Yes. Yeah. Now, we had, of course, Texas had that big freeze that wasn't just due to the weather. It was also due to the wind farms, which many discovered 25% of the electricity generated in Texas comes from wind, much of which is made in China. And China has learned from its junior partner, Russia, that energy blackmail works. So these Chinese wind farms pose a bit of a threat, don't they, to the infrastructure in Texas?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I think we need to be clear of that. But the problem that we are having is that we don't have the routine maintenance checks and services that are done on some of these power generation plants. We've got to get back to that. And now what they're seeing is that we may have a problem even in the summertime because these peak performance power plants that kick in when the temperatures, you know, 95 and above, they had some damages coming out of that winter storm, but no one had gone in and done any type of checks or run the system to see if would there be any problems or faults. And so we're concerned about making sure that we don't go into a blackout, brownout status here in the summer here in Texas.
If I'm correct, I understand that Governor Perry was responsible for the wind farms. Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of the wind farms came in during Governor Perry, but it has continued on, and there's been a huge call to stop subsidizing these unreliable green energy systems like the wind primarily and then the solar. Because you go out in West Texas, I mean, there are these wind turbines all over the place, and as we found in the wintertime, they froze up. And when you are putting 23 to 25% of your power distribution plan in this unreliable piece of energy, then that's what happened to us in the wintertime. So we need to stop the subsidies going to these folks. But if you follow the money, they're the ones that, you know, write those PAC checks to those politicians.
Yeah, well, no surprise there. I'm sure that most Texans didn't realize that 25% of the electricity was coming from wind farms. Am I correct?
They do now.
They do now. Okay. And they also know they froze up, right? During that big chill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so people aren't happy about it. And so if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes down here and talks about green energy, she's not going to get a welcome.
Good. I don't think she'd find her way down there. I have to say I'm thrilled at the prospect of perhaps you running for governor of Texas. Is that a possibility?
Well, you know, we're prayerfully considering future political opportunities, and that's how I want to frame it. You know,
yes.
We put in our resignation as chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. It'll be effective 11 July, and we'll make a decision before 11 July. A lot of people, you know, are wanting me to get back into the political arena, and I think that in respect to them, I will look at that and prayerfully consider it.
It's time for strong leadership. We see it in Florida, and we need it in Texas because you hold Texas, you hold the nation. True?
Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. I think there was some fellow wrote a book about that.
Yeah. Name escapes me at the moment. Alan West. So now we're,
yeah.
Where can the listeners follow and support and possibly support other work, your excellent work, and also sure. purchase your books, as I said, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation. Where can they do that?
Yeah, Amazon.com for, you know, books. We Can Overcome, a American Black Conservative Manifesto, and westfortexas.com. And you can follow me Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of good stuff.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find the links and info, everything you need to follow Lieutenant Colonel Alan West's work. Thanks so much, Alan, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. And we look forward to your return to the show. Until then.
Always my pleasure.
May God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.